From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Cook County Viking football team heads into the playoffs at the top of the Great Polar Red with a perfect 6-0 record and a 6-1 regular season record. The Vikes clinched the title Wednesday with a 54-6 win over the Chisholm Blue Streaks. The Vikings now head into the Section 7A playoffs. The Vikes play Mesabi East in the first game. The place and time are not yet available. But it is possible the Vikings could play at home next Tuesday night, October 25th, at 6 p.m. WTIP will broadcast the first playoff game with Norman Moe and Dick Dorr providing the play-by-play. If the game is at Lyle Anderson Field, WTIP and Boreal are expected to provide live streaming video of the game. According to the Minnesota State High School League, the 18-2 Vikings volleyball team will start the Section 7A playoffs with a home match at 7 p.m. next Wednesday night, October 26th. The Vikings earned the number one seed in one half of Section 7A, which provided a first-round bye. The Vikes will play the winner of Monday's Duluth-Marshall-Mesabi East first-round match. Marshall is seeded 8th, while Mesabi East is seeded 9th. WTIP will broadcast that match next Wednesday night with Bob Carter and Kelly Roberts calling the action. WTIP and Boreal also are planning to provide live video streaming of the last home match of the season. While motorists can rejoice, after 2 years of lane closures, reduced speed limits, and traffic backups, Interstate 35 will soon flow unfettered through Duluth. According to the Duluth News Tribune, traffic is expected to be in its normal traffic lanes with no restrictions starting on the 29th of October. An average of 31,000 vehicles travel I-35 in Duluth every day. Among the finishing touches workers are doing on the mega project are final paving, installing guardrails, putting dirt behind curbs and in traffic barriers, painting lane markers, installing signs, and sealing bridge decks. Though the total cost hasn't been tallied, it's expected the two-year I-35 Duluth mega project to come in close to the original bid price of $66.8 million. Work on the new Grand Marais Public Library expansion has gotten to the point where librarian Linda Chappelle can set a move-in target date. Construction managers or management held a walkthrough on Tuesday, and the news is good.
Exciting news. They gave us a move-in date of the week of November 28th. So it's the week right after Thanksgiving. And I talked with our movers who come out of St. Paul to move the whole book collection, and they said they are available that week, so that's good news.
Chappelle said a good share of the exterior work is finished and not much remains to be finished inside.
They're really moving along. They've got all the sidewalks are in and finished. The exterior is painted. You may have noticed a nice blue color, and that's done. The backside of the roof most likely will be done today. They're putting a metal roof on it, and it looks really nice. Interior, the fixtures are in the bathroom, all the tile is laid, and they're just finishing up the interior painting, so things are really coming along fast.
While the addition was being built, the library relocated to the former Cook County Schools Administration office and conference room.
It worked great. It's crowded, but people have just been wonderful. I mean, kind of like a little mini library, and we all sit together, and everybody's been having fun. So it was pretty hot this summer, but now the weather's cooled off, it's better. So the school's been very accommodating.
Weather permitting, library patrons will be able to queue up with their library cards as soon after Thanksgiving as possible. Everyone knows that shipping is big business along the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway. An industry study released this week quantifies just how big. The study found that maritime commerce supported 227,000 jobs, contributed $14.1 billion in annual personal income, $33.5 billion in business revenue, and $6.4 billion in local purchases, and added $4.6 billion to federal, state, provincial, and local tax revenues. Four area nonprofits were selected Tuesday for the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation's Touchstone Awards. The Grand Marais Art Colony was one of those winners. The 2011 Touchstone Award honors nonprofit programs and projects that exemplify leadership in fostering the values of generosity, civic engagement, and inclusiveness. This year, four organizations received grants in the amount of $2,500 in those categories. The Art Colony was one of two organizations winning in the generosity category. They were recognized for their work on the Empty Bowls Hunger Awareness Project. According to the Touchstone Selection Committee, the Art Colony, in a period of economic downturn, quote, did almost the unthinkable. It invested time, money, power, and other resources to raise funds for another charity, the Cook County Food Shelf. From 2007 to 2009, Cook County has seen a doubling in the number of families needing food. The awards committee pointed out that revenue from the Empty Bowls Project constitutes the largest annual contribution to the local food shelf. In the same vein, Second Harvest Northern Lakes Food Bank was also given a generosity award. Second Harvest has upped its food distribution by 25%. Their volunteer hours have nearly doubled and financial contributions have increased by 32%. Also, Sustainable Twin Ports won for civic engagement, and Madeline Island Anishinaabe Gathering Organization Committee won for inclusiveness. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.